Good morning, and welcome to Readers Anonymous Division for Your Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from outside of Philadelphia. Today is Friday, May 23rd, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in Working with Others, page 99, the second paragraph, starting with if there be divorce or separation, ending with it would be apparent to both parties. Today's readers for the 12 steps, Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Barbara W. Starting us off with the text is Leah S. Page 164 is Nancy R. Backup readers, Katie G. Newcomer greeters, Tony B. Second hour host is Hanayeta R. And announcements is Kathy S. Oh, the share ID for yesterday, Thursday, May 22nd, 2025, is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,459, that's 22,459, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,460, so that's 22,460. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. No, OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. I had a vision for you big book study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Tenzin P. to share the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
All right, Tenzin, thank you. Next up, Barbara W. is going to share the 12 traditions.
This is Barbara W. I'm a compulsive overeater. Grateful to be in this meeting. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. personal progress is for the greatest numbers depends upon unity. 2, for our root purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the relator of OA which gathered together from mutual aid may call themselves an OA group, providing that as a group we have no other affiliate. The only requirement for membership is that we recover from compulsive overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except matters affecting an OA group as AA as a whole. 5, each OA group has one primary purpose, to practice our 12 traditions and encourage and understanding alcoholic OA related by welcome and giving comfort to OA families. 6, our OA family group ought to never be indulged in finance and lend the name to any outside enterprise. These problems for money pervert us from our primary purpose. 7, our OA group ought to be fully self-supported, declining outside contribution. 8, OA 12-step work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, our OA group ought to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for them they serve. And 10, the OA group have no opinions on outside issues. Hence, our name ought to never be drawn into public controversies. 11, our public relating policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and OA. We need to guard with special care of anonymity of OA members. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. It's all ever remind us to practice principles above personalities.
All right, Barbara, thank you. Tenzin, thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep us sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing. May you keep us sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're back and working with others. We're on page 99, that second paragraph, starting with if there be divorce or separation, ending with it will be apparent to both parties. Naya S. is going to start us off today.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm very happy to do this service. If there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get together. The man should be sure of his recovery. The wife should fully understand his new way of life. If their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis, since the former did not work. This means a new attitude and spirit all around. Sometimes it is to the best interests of all concerned that a couple remain apart. Obviously, no rule can be laid down. Let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. When the time for living together has come, it will be apparent for both parties. Okay, this is very, very powerful because this brings me fully to the to face my own and to understand that I've been overeating because I've not been agreeing with my domestic situation or circumstances, and I have always tried to fight it, and I have always tried to rule it, so to speak. And here in this program, I not only wanted to lose weight, but I really wanted some peace in my life. And for me, I did not separate physically, meaning that I did live with my husband and family together, but in my mind, I simply ignored them. And that was very, very painful for everyone concerned, including myself. And so in this, in understanding that I am a compulsive overeater and my life is really, really doomed, I need to change. And I needed to understand what steps 8 and 9 mean. I actually needed each step to understand it and to delve deeper into them. But I needed to look at myself. I needed to speak my truth. I needed to be authentic and really authentic about myself, regardless of what was going to be the reaction of others. And I needed a lot of support and hope, and I got that through actually trusting in this program and in God, and in the fellowship. And well, my life has taken a 180-degree turnaround. I am very happily married today, and I try to live up to each day. It has become it has not only become second nature to me, but it has become a habit. And we respect one another, and it turned out wonderfully for us. Not that it does for everyone, but I wanted it to work. And I guess all those around me did also want that. And with that, I will pass.
All right, Lance, thank you very much for sharing and your service. So now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you're sharing on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, share the time, allow others to get a shot at sharing. What I need is your name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling in from. And please, if you can, one at a time.
Lisa O. from Massachusetts.
Charles H.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Hold on. I got Lisa from Mass. Charles.
Melissa G., Michigan.
Melissa.
Alita J., Minnesota.
Alita.
Christina L.
Okay. Christina.
Shanna C., Tennessee.
Shanna. All right, who else? Got plenty of room. All right, we'll go with this. So we got Lisa O., Charles H., Melissa G., Alita J., Christina L., and Shanna C. Lisa, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa O. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts, and thank you all for your service. And, this paragraph really speaks to me, and I love the sentence that, you know, this means a new attitude and spirit all around. And I have to tell you, I've been married, it'll be 31 years this December, and when I got back in recovery 6 years ago, probably with the first 2 years of it, was I hating my husband. he just annoyed everything, everything and everything just got on my nerves. And I just had such a hard time dealing with him and talking with others. You know, some even had me thinking, you know, possible divorce. And it was just crazy. And then on one of those outreach calls, someone said, well, has he just started acting this way? And it occurred to me, oh, my gosh. My husband has been the exact same since the day I met him in 1992. I mean, he literally is the same. I had just never dealt with him without the food. Whatever he did that didn't go my way or follow my script, you know, I turned to the food. I'd be silently scorning him for 2 weeks, you know, just decades of this kind of behavior. And now that wasn't a choice. I didn't have food to turn to, and I had to learn to accept him for who he is, how he reacted to things, how he responded to me. And it was such an eye-opener. I just can't even express, like, just how I, my world, my selfishness, wanting him to behave the way I thought he should behave, you know, how I just spent so many days and hours and weeks in the food because he wasn't following my script. And again, just through this program, through the glory of God, I have learned to accept and surrender, as a fellow person on this line always says. I just surrendered my feelings about him, how I thought he should be, and I just accepted him for who he is. And, you know, after lots of prayer, lots of great conversations, oh, our relationship is just, it's just wonderful. And I'm so grateful, like, I hung in there and I learned to just accept him for who he is. And I just continue to take it one day at a time and, you know, try my best. And so thank you so much for letting me share. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate it. Next up is Charles H., followed by Melissa G.
Thanks, real God. So when I got divorced, I really got married. I know that sounds strange, but, you know, we have a much better relationship now that I'm not bonded together by a piece of paper. I know y'all going to be like, I know you're raising your eyebrow now, but, you know, how important is it? The relationships that has improved based on, there's two things. So there's two things I have to be accountable for: what goes in my mouth and what comes out my mouth. And as y'all know, in previous endeavors, I was reckless. I had no filter. And I had to go through a season of separation, a season of segregation. And life humbled me to a point of, you know, choosing my words very carefully. Let me tell you, I love this meeting, and I know how to time when to be the first speaker every meeting. And you know what that did for me? Nothing. But listening and hearing the wisdom of the big book. So here's one thing I'd like to say before I get gonged off the stage. There's six things I've learned in the big book in listening. There's directives, there's questions, prayers, warnings, conditions. I know I'm missing one, but you can hit me up later to get the other one. But the questions are important. I know we're not there. I've been studying the big book from a question perspective, and it's really been revealing a lot to me. And so, you know, like, again, a piece of paper is good, and it solidifies things, and it, but you know what? When I got divorced, I really got married to my partner, and I really started comprehending. We started building on something because I got married just to be like, I'm married and, you know, get them other women up off me. And you know what? That won't do it. That won't do it. It's my commitment to my program first. Well, God first, program, and then family. And you guys are family to me. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Charles. Next up is Melissa G, followed by Alita J. I'm sorry.
Hey, this is Melissa G in Michigan. Good morning. So I came into program in 2020-ish. And, you know, through working my first fourth and fifth step with my sponsor at that time, a lot was revealed to me about my marriage, about, you know, that not only was I not in a marriage that was good for me, but it wasn't good for my partner at the time either. And, you know, working the steps, I was able to see a lot of the fear I had around starting over. And just that really what would have been the most kind thing for me to do was to end a marriage that I knew wasn't right for either of us. However, at that time, I was not ready, and I ended up not making my amends the way that I really knew in my soul that God wanted me to make my amends, did take me back out into the food and kept me there for another 2.5 years, where I would pray every day that I wish something would happen bad enough that I could just leave. Well, you know, fast forward 2022, that something bad enough did happen, and I was able to leave. And although I, you know, it was painful and it was hard to leave a 23-year relationship, I do feel that I am now show up for this man who was part of my life for 23 years the way that God would have me show up. And I think that is because of the program and the fact that I was finally able to trust when God told me, you know, like, Melissa, you really, like, you both deserve better than what you're giving each other. And now I can sit with him and not pick apart all of his character. I can sit with him and see where my character comes in and where I'm the problem. And, you know, today I'm at peace around that decision. And I don't know that I would have ever gotten there had I not originally come in 2020 and done that work. And, it, you know, we always say it's God's timing, and God took the time for me to really see where life could be. And I'm very grateful, because I do feel like I've been given a new chance to be, you know, in this world exactly how God would have me be. And so I am grateful to all of you, and I hope you have a beautiful Friday. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Melissa. Next up is Alita J, followed by Christina. Christina, I think. Yep.
Good morning, everyone. This is Alita J in Minnesota. Thank you for your service. And I've heard some great cheers. It's great. I'm just so happy to be on this meeting. I've returned to Vision. I've been back for about 3 weeks to a month, something like that. And with my first sponsor, I'm already on my second sponsor. I went back to the food. But when I was with my first sponsor, I was discussing with my ex-husband the possibilities of reuniting. We were divorced, telling my age, but back in 73. But we've been in and out of each other's lives, and we have children, grandchildren together and everything, great-grandchildren. But he's always been in my heart, I guess. And so anyway, recently we discussed getting back together and having a service and everything. And my first sponsor was very much telling me, you know, really important to wait for a year after you, you know, as you've been working the steps and been recovered for a year. And I did not heed her warning. I continued moving forward. And as the time went on, I saw myself getting very, very submissive to him, and I saw him getting more demanding of me, and it was getting very uncomfortable. Yet I felt like, you know, I kept moving. It said there should not be no undue haste. I felt an undue haste out of fear that I would lose him, or that he would, you know, get someone else or something. I've since learned that, you know, we cannot be concerned about outcomes. We have to do the right thing and let's take direction. As we moved on, it was like angels came to me. I just could see that it wasn't going to be a healthy thing for us to do it. And someone in program told me a long time ago God, help me be the woman who deserves the man and family I desire. And that's what I am realizing, that I'm not ready for a relationship. I'm not ready to be. I haven't learned how to be assertive, how to say my truth, and how to, you know, how to be a healthy part of an equal relationship. So I'm very happy to be in this program and very happy to be studying this today. And it's all because of all of you and the steps and God that, you know, I have some sense of sanity today, and I'm very thankful. So thank you all, and I pass.
All right, welcome back, Lita. Next up is Christina L. Can't understand my handwriting here.
Good morning, Russ. Oh, sorry.
Good morning. You got it. Muting. Go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And this paragraph really brings me back to before I ever came into program 12 years ago. And my husband and I have never been separated or divorced, but there was definitely a strong desire to divorce him at that point because I was so heavily into my disease that I could not stand him. We had issues going on with his parents as well. And so there was a really deep resentment towards his dad, especially, and other domestic problems going on as well. And the mannerisms that he had that reminded me of his dad just made me want to just scratch his eyes out, to be perfectly honest. And then, I just lost my thought. Where'd it go? The other thing, too, was that, now I remember, he was trying to control me because I was so heavily into my disease. He was really trying to control me and trying to control the food and trying to control everything about me. And that just made me want to get away from him even more. And, you know, thank you, God, I came into this program because my marriage today is nothing like it was 12 years ago. And a lot of the problem was, you know, that I had to start being honest with my husband, because that was something that I had always struggled with and still struggle with today. But, you know, I have gotten a lot better. And a lot of it is just codependency issues that, you know, I don't want to hurt his feelings if there's something that's bothering me or rock the boat or have conflict or confrontation and whatever it may be. I don't know that he really understands my new way of life, but he has always been super supportive of it. And even when I wasn't, you know, when I've relapsed, you know, I've had several relapses the last, I don't know how long, 7 years, 8 years, whatever it is. And he's, you know, I remember telling him at one relapse, I'm like, you got to let me eat, you know, before I would hide, you know, from him and stuff. But then at that point, I was eating right in front of him and stuff. I'm like, you can't do anything. I'm like, you just got to let me eat and stuff like that. And I was just like really angry about it. And, you know, and he backed off. And eventually I came to my senses, thank God. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that he has been supportive, even though I go in, I go out, I go in, I go out. And so, yeah, and I've been married 19 years, thank God, last month. And, you know, I'm really grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share. Hope everyone has a great day and happy Friday.
All right. Thanks, Christina. Next up is Shanna C.
Good morning, Russ. This is Shanna C., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks for your service this morning and all who was of service this morning and for all the shares. Things in this paragraph keep pointing, you know, jumping out at me, and I'm so grateful. Number one, that for that that line right there in the big book that says, you know, sometimes it is best to, in the interest of all concerned, the couple remain apart. Obviously, no rule can be laid down, and I'm so grateful that I'm not a marital counselor, and I don't have personally for me, I don't have the right to tell someone to not be in a relationship or be in a relationship or say that this, I don't see anywhere in the big book where it says that you got to remain, you know, away from a relationship for a year. I don't see it anywhere, but right here it says no rule can be laid down. But I can share that some general principles that I do, right here it says I do need to be solid in my recovery, you know, and they should understand and whatever, whatever. The cool thing is by me keeping my program first and focusing on my recovery and God and cleaning up my side of the street, I get glimpses of the power that I've tapped into that is guiding my life that has shown up over and over and over to let me know that I'm with the person that I'm meant to be with. Just celebrated 25 years of marriage with a vow renewal in Hawaii. It was the most serendipitous, most miraculous thing. The same man I separated from when I was told that I needed to not make any changes the first year of my recovery. I waited till that first year. I was bound to determine to divorce this guy because he was the source of my problems, and really I wanted to use him as a scapegoat. And then once I, you know, things stopped going my way, oh, I'm the one in recovery. Everything should be going my way. And it's like I hit a brick wall. It was then that I saw that I was the problem. And I want you to know that the love of God shining through this man of mine that I blamed for all my problems, I was shown so much grace. You know, and I'm so grateful for that. And I've still shown grace. And another thing, and then I'll finish up, is where it says he talks about they must understand our way of life or whatever, fully understand. Well, here's the deal. Fancied or real, my mind can tell me that even though the people around me may not say a word about me weighing and measuring or whatever, my mind will tell me they're judging me, they're judging me, they're judging me, when they might not be thinking about me at all. And that is my dependence upon people ahead of God that can still creep in. And for that, there are steps I can work. I can 10-step the fear. It's all fear-based and all in the need to control. And it's not trusting God. And it happens because I'm not cured. But I have a way out through these steps and the ability to help others with it as long as I'm willing to be rigorously honest with about what's going on. So anyway, God has shown up in my life. He keeps me safe and protected from not only the food and myself and the food, but keeps my relationships together. Thank God. Thanks, Russ. That's all I have. Happy Friday.
Thanks, Shanna. All right, we're going to open up the lines for Sharon again. Let me let you know where we're at. Chapter 7, Working with Others, page 99, second paragraph, starting with if there be divorce or separation, ending with it will be apparent to both parties. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to share. And we have about five slots. So Christina, Pedro,
Deborah M,
Kim A.
I heard Ruvain. Kim, one more. We got
Elizabeth. Deborah M.
Okay, we got Elizabeth, and then Deborah. I'm gonna. We'll see how we go. We'll see if we can get everybody in. Hopefully, I'm not great
can
with
you
the.
Repeat that page.
Page 99, second paragraph. If divorced.
Okay.
All right, so Christina J., Pedro B., Ruvain, I think it's M., Kim A., Elizabeth, I didn't get your first initial, and Deborah M. All right, Christina, you're up.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you, everyone. Great meeting today. Everybody's had such different experiences with relationships. Well, and what grist for the mill for our souls and hearts, right, or another person in our lives who is recovered or not recovered. the thing that really stands out for me is let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. No matter what's happening, we stay close to the one. We walk with the one. We let the one guide the chariot, right? We are preparing ourselves to be of service to others and especially to those around us. My first marriage, it was very sad, 20 years. We got married young. He was a young addict with marijuana, and I was a young addict in food. And, of course, it gets worse, never better, right? And it got worse, and it got worse, and it became abusive emotionally. And I finally walked out after 20 years, my legs shaking, and a U-Haul driving down the road. And it was the best thing for him and the best thing for me. But I was alone in that. I had God, but I didn't have God at that time. anyway, my second husband died of cancer, and he held space for me while I went anywhere from 40 to 80 pounds overweight. My first husband would not accept my body at all. He wanted a separate wife, a perfect California babe, you know, all that. And my current husband used to be in Alcoholics Anonymous, still is, but he's recovered. And he accepted me, and I'm going to speak about this because it's important. He accepted me for what I was. He didn't expect me to be anything else in my body at all. He loved me, no matter how big or little I was. He just loved me, and that was an acceptance I needed. Now, we're not supposed to rely on human power, but I needed that. I was ashamed of myself for all of my life. And for him to just love me no matter what was an amazing thing because it gave me the freedom to recover for myself. Not for someone else, not because I had to live up to some standard. So he understood my way of life. My first husband, I didn't even have it with him. Didn't even really have it with my second husband. So I was graced to come into a relationship with someone. Now, he did put some heavy love on me one day when I said, you know, I can't get out the food. And he said, you're killing yourself. You know, and he got kind of aggressive with me. And I was ashamed. And I went for a walk and I thought, you know, God, I need your help. I need your help. You know, I could continue to live with him and he wouldn't care, but I don't want to die. I personally don't want to die in this disease. So let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. Let's dig our feet in and stay with the one. Go find the one within yourself because it's there. We walk daily with the one, you know, whatever that one is for you, higher power, love, you know, the plants, the trees, a God in the heaven, you know, wherever. To me, it's everywhere. It's in my fellows. God speaks to me through everything. So, and I like this last line, when the time for living together has come, it will become apparent to both parties. So do we really live together? Do we really live together when I'm an addict and he's off in his room? No. But as I recover, I begin to live with that person fully. Anyway, thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Christina. Next up is Pedro B., followed by Ruvain.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Ross. Thanks for your service. My name is Pedro V. I am a compulsive overeater in San Bernardino, California. A couple of things came up to mind. One of the things that I heard in program is that it takes two healthy people to have a healthy relationship. And one of my sponsors had me look up the word recovery. What it says was return to good health. There's a saying in AA that when it comes to money, we're drunk. And I was thinking, when it comes to relationship, I'm drunk. I'm overeating. And one of the things I know is that my picker is broken. So, you know, it's really difficult to have a healthy relationship with me when I'm sick. So, you know, there's this line where the man should be sure of his recovery. My recovery has got to be number one. It's got to be first. I should not be in any relationship if I'm sick. There's no way I can have a, the idea is to have a healthy relationship, you know. And I've been, you know, in and out of relationship for, since I can remember, right? And you know, divorce, separation, undue haste for the couple to get together. If it's healthy, go for it. If it's unhealthy, stay away from it. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, next up is Ruvain H. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pedro, sorry about that.
Thank you. Thanks, Russ, for moderating. Doing a great job, and everyone was on the line, and Ruvain H. from Israel, recovering. You know, how this applies to me in many ways, and there's so many things in this one. Each sentence says something else. So I can just say that I was divorced in 1995. And on one hand, I think it was for a good reasons that were healthy. And on the other, it was not for healthy reasons. Because I really never became healthy. So from unhealth, I've made most of my decisions throughout my life, for whatever it may be. The unhealth, again, is that what this program is teaching me is that my recovery is not dependent on another person. It's dependent on my relationship with God, my having the spiritual experience, and it being evidenced by my abstinence and following the rest of the 12 steps. When I was divorced, I wasn't in that situation. And I believe I was more so in that situation when I had a second marriage, and I'm very grateful. I believe I'm in a very, very wonderful marriage with my current wife. And she is in recovery, and she thoroughly understands my addictions. And at the same time, there's so much more that could be for my marriage with my wife by me continuing to struggle with abstinence and treating myself as a sick person and doing those actions that evidence that I'm doing them. So there's so much more capable in my relationship, although it's much better than it was in my first marriage. I have more of a clear view now and how abstinence in the first step is really the focal point of my recovery, because I can't even do step two or three, let alone the rest, although I can make a case for step 11 being somewhat involved as well as step two. But you know, that abstinence in step one is really the focal point of consistency that my recovery needs to take in order to have the relationship that I want. And I guess the message that this is letting me know again is that my abstinence and following the first step as well as the rest of the steps cannot be contingent on my partner, cannot be contingent on anyone other than God and having a spiritual experience. And thank God I have people in my life helping support. Thanks for letting me share. Everyone have a great weekend.
Thanks, Ravine. Next up is Kim A., followed by Elizabeth, but I didn't get your first initial, so we'll get it later. Kim, you're up.
Hey, thanks. Good morning. This is Kim A. from New York City. When I read this paragraph, this is less about relationships and more about God's will and how to stay recovered. Where it says, this means a new attitude and spirit all around, I can't get any new attitude or spirit on my own. I am completely powerless over my flawed ways of thinking, over my selfishness, right, which manifests itself in all kinds of ways across, like, the fabric of my life, right? So anxiety and self-pity and resentment, all of which are like the stars of all of my relationships, all of my failed relationships, I should say, because I am single right now. So getting this new attitude and spirit for me comes from working the steps, which teaches me how to turn my will and my life over to my higher power. When I do that, my food is clean, right? It's not the other way around. I don't put the food down because I can't put the food down. If I do, I'm just using willpower and I'm going to eventually pick it back up. But when I work the steps and I'm doing what I need to do in steps 10, 11, and 12 all day, every day, I mean, you know, not like a robot, but to the best of my ability, then I don't need to go to food for ease and comfort anymore, right? And so once I get to that point, then more is going to be revealed by my higher power, right? At the end of this paragraph, it says, when the time for living together has come, it will be apparent to both parties. So when I make decisions based on like my will, obviously, you know, my life is a hot mess. But when I kind of when I don't make decisions and I just like wait for more to be revealed, if I'm not eating compulsively, right, then that tunnel between me and my higher power is unblocked. As long as I'm doing 10 steps throughout my day, it's not going to get clogged up again with my thinking, which tends to be right, my perceptions, which are off, my selfishness, all the food, like all that stuff kind of clears out and makes the way for me to hear what God's will is for me. And when God's will is for me to be in a relationship, then that's what tends to happen. When God's will is for me to not be in a relationship, guess what? I'm not in a relationship. With my second marriage, which kind of recently ended, my biggest fear was that we weren't going to stay married. So this was a 10th step I sent over and over to my sponsor for who knows how many years. So guess what? It was not God's will for us to stay together. So no matter how afraid I was of it, which in and of itself should tell me that I'm not really tapped into God's will, right? Or that I'm not really giving myself over, because there's no need to be afraid of anything when I'm really giving my thoughts and actions to higher power. But I feel like I'm starting to ramble. Anyway, it wasn't God's will. It is now over, and God will give me anything that I need to handle whatever comes along. And I will pass with that. This is Kim A. in New York City. Thanks.
Thanks, Kim. And I believe it's Elizabeth B. I got the orders here. So Elizabeth D's up, followed by Deborah M.
Good morning, Russ. It's Elizabeth D. from the Boston area. Thank you for your service, Russ. It's been a great meeting, and it started out for me when the passage was read. I thought, well, this doesn't really apply to me. I'm 67 years old, and I just got married for the first time last September. I have been single mainly all those years because for a variety of reasons that related to this disease of compulsive overeating. A lot of it was physical. When I was sort of in a position to have relationships, I hated my body. So there was a lot of body dysmorphia that kept me separated from the opposite sex. But long story short, God put the right person in my path, and I was recovered enough to recognize. And we have a wonderful marriage. But what I realized as this meeting went on is that this paragraph for me is really not about my marriage. It's about other relationships. Like I'm in the midst of a work relationship with a woman who has rented space for free in my brain. This is someone who is incredibly important to the institution and with whom I have to work. And I'll be honest, I don't even, because of everything that's happened in our relationship over the last 3 years in our working relationship, at this point, I don't even like to be in the same room with her. That's how angry and resentful I am. So, if I look at this paragraph, if their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis, since the former did not work. And, you know, I recently had a meeting with my boss who pointed out the things that were getting in the way of a good working relationship with this person. And I got very defensive. And after talking to my sponsor yesterday and praying, I realized I have to change the way I am operating. I cannot keep this relationship as it is. It needs to be resumed on a better basis. And what does that mean? That means I need to refocus on my own recovery. For me, it starts with entire abstinence, and once that is in place, then I am able to effectively work the steps. And so this weekend, my sponsor and I'm going to do a third and fourth column. I'm going to be doing a fourth step on this relationship because you know, during this meeting with my boss, I even said to her, you know, maybe I'm not the right person to work with her. Because, you know, I was ready to get a divorce from this working relationship. But you know what? That's not the solution. The solution is for me to review my side of what's been going wrong in our working relationship and give up the outcome and just do my part. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Next up is Deborah M. And depending on the time, we might be able to get another share in there.
Did you call for Deborah?
Yep.
Oops, okay, sorry, so I'm muting. Okay, yeah, I'm Deborah Minotti. Oh, oops, sorry, Deborah M., recover from Western New York. I'll make this quick. So I was married in 1973 at a very, very young age to the love of my life. Was not good at all. In fact, it was dangerous at times. Was separated, divorced in 79. Came to OA, did life, realized that I was a compulsive overeater over the years, joined OA, found a vision for you, and my sponsor at the time was telling me about amends. And I looked at it, I saw my part and how manipulative I was to get my ex-husband to do what I wanted him to do because I was petrified of losing him. And I saw my own issues very clearly, and it was a gift from God. I wrote a letter, and that was the right thing to do at the time. Never heard back, which was fine. He continued not to be he was actually a horrible father. But, you know, life went on. We would see each other occasionally, and nothing really came of it. Fast forward to January, where he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Immediately, we knew he only had a short time to live. He had reached out to me, and I decided to reciprocate, went to see him several times, and probably heard things that I had wanted to hear 40 years ago, apologies, hugs, and just how sorry he was. And I had forgotten all, because I think I did the amends, I forgot all of the things he had did. I just remembered that 14-year-old girl who fell in love. But I asked him if he remembered the letter I wrote, and he said he had held on to it and had read it several, several times. And I was stunned how the program changed at this season in his life, that he was able to reach out and for himself have a peace. He died a few weeks later. He didn't live long. Actually, 2 days ago would have been his birthday. But he held on to that letter of amends. He felt forgiveness, and he was grateful for this when his time was over. And I was grateful that, you know, I had heard things that I had always wanted to hear. So just want to encourage people, even though relationships don't work, the process of our program of making amends. And didn't do it face-to-face. But because I did it with the letter, he had held on to it for all these years and was reading it. And so just encourage us to do the process, and that God can do amazing, amazing things. And, yeah, that's really all I have to say. So thank you. I pass.
All right. Thanks, Deborah. So we have 2 minutes, a 2-minute share we can work in there.
Colleen M.
All right, go ahead, Colleen.
Hey, Russ, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Well, it's just been a powerful meeting for me, and I just wanted to chime in of how good God can be. when I got into recovery, in the late 90s, my first marriage didn't work out, and the relationship that I have with my ex-husband today is beyond my wildest dreams, because I was willing to do the work and look at my side of the street and make amends. And, you know, we have kids, we have grandkids. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to have time with our kids where we all get together, which we do frequently. We're both remarried happily, And God is just, he likes to show off. You know, he can do anything. It's miraculous. And yeah, I just wanted to encourage everyone out there who, I never thought I would be able to humble myself and make amends to my ex-husband. And actually, it was probably took me about 25 years. So I don't recommend that, but that's what it took. And, you know, anything's possible. You know, things can be healed. And I have to continue to look at what's my part. I too, was both of us in our own diseases, making very poor decisions. Today, I try to stay awake in my life and work on me and not work on others and just keep doing this work, you know, try to show up for God on a daily basis. So anyway, I just wanted to shout some praises. This all works. You just got to keep doing it one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Colleen, for sharing. And thank you, everyone who shared and did service on this meeting. We appreciate it. Couldn't go on without you. And please join us for second unrecorded hour study immediately following closing. So, now, our share ID for today, Friday the 23rd of May, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,462. That's 22462. Man, 22,000 meetings. All right, so now, I believe it's Nancy R. is going to read that passage from the Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we're going to pray the Serenity Prayer.
Hi, Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until